This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Every week that we come, we have people who come on Wednesday nights who this is their church service. They can't come during the week, and with people's different work schedules, it works out well that you can come on Wednesday nights. And so we take a little time and we talk about stewardship. We don't pass the plate. We have actually offering boxes in the back, or people can give online. But we always take a little time to talk about stewardship. Here's one. I'm going to go back to the third chapter of Proverbs again. This is a verse that people don't typically associate with stewardship, but it applies. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Many people know this scripture. It's a very, very popular scripture. You'll hear people say, you'll hear people, what is your favorite scripture? They'll list this one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. So, well, how does that apply to stewardship? Giving is a faith proposition. It really is. Because anytime that you're giving, you are trusting. It's leaving your hand, and you are trusting that it's going to do good for others. It's going to do good in the kingdom. And you're trusting that it's going to benefit you. And that it honors God. So anytime that you're giving, now some of you have been giving for so long, you've forgotten about it. And you almost do it like habit. Some of you were raised to give. If you were raised in church, and maybe you were raised by parents that taught you to tithe and to give. I've had some people, and man, I feel for them, because they look at tithing almost like you pay off the mafia. It's like, oh man, I want the devourer rebuked. I don't want anything. And I've had people come by the church and say, hey, you know, we're going to be out of town, so we want to give our tithe. We make sure. And it's almost like a fear to it. And you know, of course, we don't refuse them when I don't tell them, oh no, brother, no, that's fine, thank you. Giving online has probably kept some of our traffic down because people can give online. What a great idea. But the idea is, this verse doesn't even come with a threat. It said, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, if you'll acknowledge him, it didn't say he'll force your path. He said he'll direct your path. See, that's real. I think sometimes people feel like the Lord's going to make them do something. And so they don't even want to ask it. But if you're honest and you'll ask the Lord, say, Lord, I don't understand about tithing, or I don't understand about giving, or I didn't come from a background where that was part of my life. And, you know, I see all the needs I have in my own life. The idea of giving is difficult. But it is a trust thing. It is a faith proposition. And so I encourage you to do this. Maybe if giving is new to you or something that you haven't really been good, ask the Lord about it. Say, Lord, help me with this. If you'll acknowledge, the Bible said, if you'll acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll direct your paths. In the ways you don't acknowledge him, guess what? He won't direct. The Lord's good. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force anything on you. But if you'll acknowledge him and say, hey, Lord, what about this? He'll get some answers to you. And they're good answers. Y'all look nervous tonight. You okay? It's all right. It doesn't last that long. We're not going to pass the plate. But you know, that's a brave thing to do. Say, Lord, I trust you. I trust that you're good. I trust that you're good to me. I don't lean on my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge you. Lord, show me. He'll direct you, and he'll help you. Joy and I was raised in a home where you were taught to tithe. I grew up Baptist, and my parents, I appreciate that. They were serious Baptists. I've called them Shiite Baptists, but they were serious. And so I was taught to tithe, taught to give. Joy actually was not. I know y'all think that all the godly characteristics that ever show up in me are because of her, but there was actually a time when I had to help my darling wife because she didn't know. She would go to Lakewood, they would give the altar call, she would stand up every time. I'm like, you are embarrassing me, would you sit down, please? And she didn't know, there was a time Joy didn't know hardly any of her Bible. She was raised Catholic. Everyone say, God bless the Catholics. She was raised Catholic. And Catholics oftentimes did not teach people to read their Bible. And so when I met Joy, she didn't know anything about the Bible. I mean, I had it all over her with the Bible. I mean, she all her Bible was stuck together, and then she had one of those big white Catholic Bibles, and she took it to a Bible study, and she was sharing with some people out of one of those books that the Catholics have that is not even recognized by Protestants. And so I'm telling you, y'all think she's a genius and that she's always been spiritual. I'm telling you, I had to help her. But let me tell you something about the Lord is, He is gracious, and wherever you are, you can grow. And no one starts off on this walk knowing everything. No one starts. And now Joy quotes scriptures in the Bible that are way back there in some of those minor prophets where all of our pages are stuck together. She's got that. But it took some time. But she was willing to acknowledge the Lord, and she wasn't a giver. And when we met, a lot of times I'd say, I just feel impressed with the Lord to put this on our heart to give over and above our tithes. And she's looking at me kind of like, mm-hmm. And y'all think she's Mother Teresa's younger sister, but she's not. And she had to learn in this. And so, you know, there is no harm in learning. All you want to do, though, is just have an honest heart before the Lord and say, Lord, teach me. I don't know about this. Teach me what's right. And here at the Ark, we don't force you. You've never heard me, you know, you've never heard me put the heat on you to give. I don't believe in putting pressure on people to give. I believe in giving opportunities for people to give. But I shouldn't have to put pressure on you. I don't like it. No one likes that. And so we just believe if you look into the Lord, He'll impress you and He'll help you. Y'all okay? You look again. Y'all take a deep breath. No special offerings tonight. We're going to be good. All right. We've been talking about wisdom. So let's pray before we do. We're in the book of James. We're not getting too far. We've been 3 weeks on this. We're at the end of verse 8. We will not take this long going through it. I'm cherry picking some things, but I just felt like last week I felt impressed to go back and talk a little bit more about wisdom, because if there's anything we need, it's wisdom. And all of us have areas in our life where we need wisdom. And so the good news is God gives wisdom. So let's pray. Let's trust God to help us tonight. That He can speak something to you that will help you. Since you're here, you're not home watching the Olympics, you're here. Good for you. And so if you're here, you might as well get something. Since you came, unless you just came because we're the most air-conditioned place in town, unless you came for that, might as well get something. And if you came because we're the most air-conditioned place, you will enjoy it. I see yellow blankets, a few of them out, because it's cold in here. You say, why is it cold in here? Because that's the way I like it. That's why. So let's listen. This preacher don't like to sweat. I am not T.D. Jakes. I'm Alan Clayton. I'm a different guy. Here we go. Ready? Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. Thank You, Father, as we come tonight, we just release faith out of our hearts that You'll speak to us. Individually, corporately. Father, we believe that You're good and Your Holy Spirit's a marvelous teacher. I ask You for words, Father, that bring life and insight and light. And Lord, thank You that our hearts are open. We believe we'll receive something good tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In the book of James, first chapter, James says in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, generously, without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We talked last week about the fact that God is willing to give wisdom to us. And that's good news. He is generous. He's not going to reproach you or roll His eyes at you, figuratively speaking, when you come and ask God for wisdom. You're not going to come ask for wisdom. He's not going to go, oh, again. He said He gives to all generously and without reproach. And it will be given to him. And it did say it will be given. And then He said, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. And that word doubt really means duo. And by the way, wisdom simply means the ability to apply insight and experience and knowledge with skill. It's not knowledge, it's the ability to apply knowledge. And so if we need wisdom, it said to ask God, and we talked about that last week, asking in faith, that when we ask, we thank the Lord, we believe we receive an answer, and then we're in that place. Now we just keep thanking Him until we know what to do. So in other words, faith says, I'm believing that my answer is on the way before I can articulate it. I'm believing. What happens is oftentimes we get caught up in the idea that we're asking for wisdom. We don't know exactly what to do yet, and we revert back to our, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. I don't know. And so one of the best ways to do that is say, Father, I believe that you said that you would give me wisdom. That's a great promise. So I'm asking you for wisdom. I thank you for it. Now I'm not going to go back and forth. I'm not going to waver. Someone said, like a wave of the sea. Now I'm going to lock in. Lord, I'm thanking you for wisdom. I'm thanking you. Joy and I were laughing. This is the third message on the book of James. The first message I did was on count it all joy. Remember that one? Y'all are excited about that. We have to talk about count it all joy. And then the second one was on wisdom. And we were laughing because after I preached the first message, as soon as I got home, I had a good reason to practice what I preach. We had a situation come up. And I'm like, oh God. Last week, I preached on wisdom, and as soon as I got home, I had two situations that I had to ask God for wisdom. I'm like, I'm getting tired of this. I thought about preaching today on overflowing abundance. Maybe that will hit me. But it's a good reminder that when you hear something, the enemy will come to steal God's word out of your heart. And oftentimes, he puts pressure on. And so some of you heard about wisdom. You left here excited. You asked God for wisdom, and all hell busted loose in your life. Well, me too. Join the club. Say, wow, Alan, if it happens to you, it can happen to anybody. That's exactly right. I'm only anointed to preach this. I'm not anointed to live this. I can hear the wheels just churning. Did you catch? I don't have an advantage living and doing God's word any more than you do. That should be good news. So in other words, the gifting is to present it, is to articulate it, is to get it out, is to communicate it. That's the gifting. But to go home and live it, I got to do exactly what you do. I had two situations last week. I'm like, oh God. I got to count it all joy and ask for wisdom. And God helped us. And He'll help you. But don't get the idea that I have a big advantage and when I go home, everything is like, ooh, perfect. I wake up in the morning with two angel choir alarm clocks. Doesn't work that way. We all have to. No one has an advantage in walking this out. That's why sometimes some of you wonder why. You ever know sometimes healing evangelists who God uses mightily in healing die of sickness. So why not happen? They're healing evangelists because they have to receive just like everyone else. Anyway, I can feel the level of excitement rising. You ought to be happy with that because it means that God's fair and He's totally just and no one has more of an advantage. And so when the enemy comes and tells you, you can never do this, you're a lousy Christian, you can never make it, you all look at him and go, oh no, oh absolutely not. What I am is a learning Christian, a growing Christian, a developing Christian, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Y'all remember, I was the guy that used to do drugs years ago. Like about 34 years ago. So freedom is available. Let me give you an example of wisdom tonight from the scriptures of a man who had to receive wisdom because he really had some pressure on him. And I know that there's no one here that's under pressure. And so we'll just indulge ourselves in this story of Daniel. Daniel was a man living in he's living in Babylon. He was a captive in Judas. This is Old Testament story. He's living in Babylon. He is someone that God, in fact, I may do a Sunday series actually on Daniel, but I want to talk about tonight the fact that Daniel, who's considered one of the wise men, had some real pressure. Nebuchadnezzar was the king, a very powerful king. And one night he has this dream, and this dream really bothered him. And man, when he gets up the next day, he calls all of his wise men in, and he goes, "I had a bad dream, guys. I had this dream, and I need to know the interpretation of it." And they said, "Oh, king, live forever. Why don't you tell us what the dream is? We'll tell you what the interpretation is." He's like, "Oh, no, no. We're not going to work it that way." He said, I think he thought these wise men were con men. He's like, "I don't trust you guys. So here's the deal. You got to tell me the dream, and you have to tell me the interpretation." And the wise men knew we're beat. In fact, look at this verse in Daniel. They answered the king. And in Daniel, care, that's Daniel 2:11. He said, "It's a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh." Isn't it interesting that these wise men, who by the way, worship foreign gods, they're saying, "Hey, the only one that can tell that is a god, and his dwelling is not with flesh." And as soon as I read that, I thought, isn't it great that we have a God who came down in the form of flesh, who manifested himself in flesh, whose dwelling is with us, and his dwelling is with flesh. So thank God we have a God that's not like their gods. We've got a God that lives in us, and that's wonderful. But at this point in time, they just like, King, there's no one who can tell you that. And the king said, "Kill them all. I want all the wise men killed." Now, Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were wise men. And so a king's captain came to kill them. And how Daniel handled it had a ton of wisdom. So let's read Daniel 2. We'll read verses 14 through 19. "Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the king, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Why is the decree from the king so urgent?' And Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah." That's the Hebrew names for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "And his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven." Just some wisdom here in how Daniel handled this. And you see it as you begin to read the Bible, realize these people deal with wisdom. Daniel had a lot of wisdom. You read his life, how he handles himself. First, his dealings with people, I thought, were wise. He didn't start screaming at Arioch. He said, why is there such a pressure on this? And Arioch told him what the king Nebuchadnezzar had said. I like what he did the second time. He went and asked for time. "Can you give us some time, king?" So he went into the king's, asked for time. "Can you give us some time?" Guys, that's one of the most valuable things you can do when you're under pressure. You have to ask yourself the question is, do I have to do something now, or can I wait just a bit? And if you can ever buy yourself more time, that's where a lot of bad decisions are made, when people feel like, "I've got to do it now. I've got to make decisions now." That's a good question. Do I, or can I buy for some more time? Daniel asked for more time. And then Daniel believed, and this is key, Daniel believed that God had the wisdom that they needed. Daniel wasn't just trying to stall so he and his friends wouldn't die that day, that they would die maybe a week later. Daniel went in and he's basically telling his guys, "We got to pray, guys. We got to pray or we're going to die." But he believed that God had the wisdom that he needed. Now, why is that important to you? Because you have to believe that your scenario, what you're going through, is not over God's head. That whatever you're dealing with right now, God has wisdom. So you got to, how many of you believe God's smarter than you are? Okay. How many of you know that sometimes we don't treat him like he is? Have you ever prayed and tried to explain to God the situation, how he need to fix it? I have. I found myself sometimes telling the Lord, "Explain this." He knew before. None of this was a revelation to him. He didn't go, "Whoa, Alan, I've never seen it from that perspective before." He knows. And so Daniel, when he's praying, Daniel believed that God would give him an answer. Now, this is one of the key things about wisdom. One of the shifts that we have to make in our minds is believing that we're people that we just don't know, to we're people who love God, who trust God, who believe God, and God can get us wisdom when we don't know what to do. Thank you. One yes. Can I get another yes? Can I hear another yes? I got one amen over here. Can I get two? I got two. Got another amen. Can I get three? Come on. Now listen to me. This is good news. Now what you're sitting there thinking is, yeah, but you don't know me. Yeah, but I know God.
Amen.
And we have to stop this disqualifying ourselves from wisdom. Sometimes I've never heard this many people go that quiet all at one time. It's like somebody beamed y'all up. I'm like, I know I see you here. I can hear you breathing. You're here. All right, here we go. So Daniel, God gave him a night vision, answered it in a dream. And look what Daniel said in verse 22 and 23. He reveals deep and secret things. Talking about God. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness. And light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You've given me wisdom and might, and you've now made known to me what we ask of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. So God knows all things. Nothing is a surprise for him. He can see out ahead. He knows what's going on. When we realize, oh God, you have so much more wisdom. When we ask for new employees, we pray, Lord, you send the right ones to us. And there have been times we passed on people and all we've known is we had a witness that they were not the ones. Well, God knows more than we do. And if we'll trust him, he'll reveal things to you. You won't be caught by surprise. He knows what nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing. And the closer we walk to him, the more we can begin to find out from him. And that's good news. Man, I've had some crafty people come around me. And when I've been a pastor, man, they've had secret agendas and they have all kinds of things going on. And I've had God reveal it to me and just absolutely turn the tables on them. And I'm just smiling and laughing. And they think, well, how did you know that? Well, I didn't know that, but God knew that and he can reveal secret things. Now, he does that to me because I'm a pastor of a church, but he can do that in your family.
Amen.
Your daughter brings some guy home and all of a sudden you're thinking, I don't have peace about that. Well, he looks so good. I don't have peace about it. But he's so handsome. I don't have peace about it. You tell your kid. I've told my children before, you need me as a love committee. I said, we'll be honest with you. Now, we can't stop you. I actually looked at my daughter one time. I said, I can't stop you. I said, you're of an age that I can't stop you from doing this. I said, but I beg you not to marry this guy. I had a bad witness. And thank God, she walked right upstairs and broke up. And we look back on it now. Every now and then, Joy and I will go, oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, Alan, God did that for you because you're a pastor. No. God did that for me because we ask him.
Yes.
Ask him for wisdom, guys. He'll give you wisdom. How does he give wisdom? Let's talk about some of that. How does God give wisdom? Let me give you the very first one. God often gives wisdom with his word. He will give you scriptures. There will be scriptures. The Holy Spirit will bring scriptures back to your remembrance. That's one of the key reasons I encourage you to read the Bible. It's not so you get brownie points in heaven, but you're starting to store up God's wisdom in your heart. And the Holy Spirit can bring back a scripture. I can't tell you how many times we've had a scripture that's come up and told us exactly what we need to do to deal with the situation. A scripture will come. Jesus said in Luke, he said, he calls God's words God's wisdom. He said, therefore, the wisdom of God also said. Jesus is talking. He's about to quote a scripture. I'll send them prophets and apostles. He said, the wisdom of God. Jesus equated God's word with God's wisdom. God's word and God's wisdom agree. Listen, that's one of the key reasons why, as the more you read the Bible, you have a less chance of being deceived because you're getting truth in. And then when things begin to come, the Holy Spirit can bring up ideas to you, but they need to line up with God's word. God's wisdom and God's word are going to agree. Are you listening to me on this? Oftentimes people, and I've seen these people before, they're like, oh, the Holy Spirit told me. The Holy Spirit told me. Listen, I don't care who comes up to you and says the Holy Spirit told them to do something. That, for some people, that means, oh, you can't hold me accountable because the Holy Spirit told me to do this. I'm like, really? Did he really? Well, since he told me, so, I've dealt with this as a pastor. And I'm like, well, since he told me something different, and I'm the pastor, I don't listen. I don't believe you're listening to the right spirit. We have fun here, guys. We really do. But listen to me. It's my job to get rid of the charlatans and the crooks and the wolves and all the. That's what a part of my job. Wolf prevention is what I do. Amen. Who are you gonna call? Wolfbusters. But I'm not depending on my own wisdom. I'm depending on this. But listen, someone comes and say, well, God told me to do this. That's almost like saying no one can tell me anything different. If it doesn't line up with the scriptures, throw it out. God told me I didn't need to work. I've had people say, oh, the Lord told me not to work. Well, are you ministering full time? No, I'm just living by faith. The Lord told me I didn't have to work. Oh, really? Well, the scripture says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So fast away, brother, but that's not. But God's wisdom and God's words line up. Well, I'm just not going to forgive them. Oh, really? Well, the Bible says you need to forgive them. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm not going to forgive them. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. Because you're not going to pray and have God make an exception for you that he's already said in his word. Come on, people now. Smile on your brother, everybody. Come on. Are you hearing? Seriously. This is how you stay out of step. People will come up to you and tell you, you should do this. You should do that. First thing is, does it line up with the word? Second, does it bear witness in your own heart? His word, first. I'm going to go ahead and hit this. Second one is an inward witness, a knowing in your heart. 1 John 2:20 says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now that's, you know all things. Well, I don't know all things. You know all things you need to know. The Holy Spirit can help you in areas where you don't know. You have an unction. Anybody ever had a hunch before? And you just went, man, I just got this something on the inside that tells me this is the wrong way to go. This is the wrong thing to do. Guys, listen, we need to stop ignoring that because that's often the wisdom of God going, don't go that way. I'll give you a great example from the Bible. Acts the 13th chapter, or 16th chapter, I'm sorry. Carrie, I know I'm jumping on you, but let's go to that one. Acts 16, 6 through 10. Now, when they'd gone through, this is Paul and his team of his evangelistic team, where they would go into areas and preach the gospel. They'd gone through Phrygia, and the region of Galatia. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they'd come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded and said, come over to Macedonia and help us. After we'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, there's two ways of wisdom right here. One, Paul is going somewhere, he said, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't allow them to. He stopped them. So he's going, and all of a sudden, he gets a check. We call it a check. Have you ever just started going in a direction and you lose peace? All of us have done this. All of us have gone, and boy, we're just like, man, I just don't feel good about this. I tried, when we started the church in Conroe, I went out one day and found a place, and like the first place I stopped, well, actually, I stopped at what used to be a Holiday Inn, and I'm like, oh, no. So I stopped at the Montessori Center. Lady Janine Kopp let me use the place for free, and we had a free place to meet when the church started. I went and sat in the car. I went, oh, that was too easy. That couldn't have been God. It was too easy. We're all learning people, aren't we? This was 20 years ago. I hope I've learned something since then. I should have walked out there and go, hallelujah, just saved me a whole half a day. So I went and drove around. I looked in other places. I know the Lord has spoken to me about Conroe. I looked in Tomball. I looked south of the river. I kept looking. And every time I go, I just like, I don't have any peace on that. So in other words, I tried to go into Tomball and the Holy Spirit forbid me. I tried to go into Magnolia and he went and stopped. Why? Because he wanted the ark here in Conroe. And that's where he wanted. Now, and who would have known 20 years later that all this land is being bought? They're putting houses in left and right. And we're going to be a population center in no time at all. God knew. He knows what's in the dark places. Seek nothing secret to him. He knows above community planners and planning activities. He knows. He wanted the church here. So we started to go somewhere else and got a check. Now, here's the last one. Paul had a dream. So let me talk to all you dreamers out there. Paul didn't wait for a dream. Paul was moving. Holy Spirit checked him. He was going in another direction. Holy Spirit checked him. He had a dream in the night. A man from Macedonia said, come over and help us. He said, okay, that's where we're going. He had a dream, but any dream really needs to, one, it needs to you be, need to have some clarity about it. Now, here's what I find with people. People have dreams all the time. I have dreams, you have dreams. The vast majority of the dreams you have are not from God. Now, I got quiet on that because people don't like. But I've run across people for years, and they're like, and when I was there, and I was standing beside a large pizza, and there was a Bible on one side, and they're trying to come up with a. No, I know, I got the interpretation for you. You had too much to eat before you went to bed, and you probably ate pizza. Listen, don't get caught up in dreams. Listen, if you get a dream, you wake up in the morning, you're like, I just had a dream and I know it was from God. Put it on the shelf. What I mean is set it aside, just let it sit there for a little bit and ask the Lord, Lord, if that's for you, either A, confirm it, either B, show me something. In other words, Lord, speak to me again. When you have a dream from God, typically you wake up and you know exactly what it's from. You don't see people walking around in the Bible, in the New Testament, and they have dreams and they have no idea. And I know some people, I've met people, they're having dreams all the time. All the time. Like every week or so. Had a dream about you. I had this dream. Let me be kind here. I'm going to be real kind. Having to stop and think about how to say this so I can be kind. No. No. You're not getting a dream. A lot of times, and let me tell you something. A lot of times people who God does give dreams to, most of the time, they won't even tell other people. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, people who are telling you all these awesome dreams they had are exalting themselves. Sure. And the Bible's not about exalting yourself. Because my thing is, where's the other fruit in your life? If you have this awesome way that God is always... I mean, I've got these... I had a guy... I'm praying down here one Sunday morning, and a guy comes. He started telling me his dream. I just finally stopped him. I said, brother, that dream doesn't line up with Scripture. He's talking about where Jesus was being harsh to him and Jesus was doing all these things. And Jesus, I went, whoa. I said, that didn't line up with Scripture. He said, I had a dream. I said, I don't doubt that you had a dream. I'm just saying that dream does not line up with Scripture. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, throw it away. Put it on the shelf. There have been too many people that have had crazy dreams. Like, I had a dream and I was like flying over Arizona and I thought we need to move to Arizona. Well, darling, I'm about to put you in bless your heart category right there. Guys, listen. If you wake up, you had a dream and you think it was from the Lord, then you ask the Lord, Lord, if that's you, please confirm that to me. Please show that to me. Give me confirming word. But don't start making all these things. You know, really, a lot of dreams are issues we have not resolved before we go to bed. Mm-hmm. I had a dream. I was on some website before I went to bed, and I was looking at something, and it was a shirt, and there were three or four different options. I went to bed. You know what I dreamed about all night? Shirt options. I was like, woke up tired. I planted Christmas trees one time in college. Take like three big steps, take a big old, like a pickaxe, drive it into the ground, plant a Christmas tree. I did that all day. You and I dreamed about all night? Planting Christmas trees, man. I planted a few hundred more that night. So, does this make sense? I feel like I'm kind of struggling with you on this, and I don't want to. I've just seen too many people make too many bad decisions based on dreams. So what I'm doing now is I'm being a pastor. And I'm just telling you, if it's a dream, here's what I suggest. I suggest you talk to someone who is knowledgeable, someone who has some maturity in the Lord. And I suggest you don't make any moves. Now, when you wake up and you immediately know in your heart, I know exactly what the Lord's trying to tell me. Can he use dreams? Yes, he can. But they're pretty infrequent. His word and his witness are the two typical ways that wisdom comes to you. Can it come in a dream? Yes, I'm not discounting that, guys. People have had dreams and they're legit. I'm concerned about the ones who have dreams like every other week or every day, and their dreams, and I especially am concerned about freaky dreams that involve me. I'm also concerned about some people's gloom and doom dreams where they're fear-based and it's the end of everything. Is this making sense? Well, you know, this just one of those meddling nights. But again, this isn't my first rodeo, and I've seen these before. Be careful of the dream. What do you mean by put it on the shelf? I mean, don't live your life by it. Set it aside. Ask for counsel. Ask for the Lord to confirm his word to you if that was him. Does that make sense? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and your wisdom. Thank you, Father, that your word is a light to us, a lamp to us, and a light to our path. Thank you, Father, your Holy Spirit is the spirit of light and understanding and insight. And thank you, Father, we have so much access to that. Lord, thank you. And for those out here who are struggling, Father, needing wisdom, needing your light, needing your insight, thank you, Father, you give it generously and you'll show us what to do. We appreciate that. We thank you for it. We give you all the praise. Heads bowed and eyes closed this evening. If you're here and you're saying, you know what? I came really, and in my heart, I know that I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't have one, but I want one. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, I used to walk with the Lord. I used to have a close relationship, and I've gotten so far away. I just feel like I'm so lost, but I want to come back. Or we're going to say a prayer. It's a powerful prayer. We're not asking you to stand up or come to the front, but this prayer is for you. And so as we sit here tonight, no one's looking around. If that's you that I'm talking to, and you're saying, Alan, I do want a relationship with the Lord, or Alan, I want to come back to him, would you pray for me? We're going to do that. But you slip up your hand, though, just have the courage to say, I'm acknowledging that. I need your help. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thanks. Thanks. I see the hands up. Yeah, thanks. Great. Thank you for that. All right. We're going to pray. Now, we're going to pray this prayer. We're going to pray it with you. God's going to hear this prayer. This is a very simple prayer, but it's powerful. We're going to join you out loud. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you're like, I want in. But you can pray this from your heart. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.